Keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking. But if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Come on, Simple Church, where y'all at this morning? Come on. Good morning to everyone in the room, and good morning to all of those that are watching. We are thankful that you are here and that you're with us in this service. We also want to remind you, man, don't forget, Father's Day is next week. Do Good Store is open today, and it'll be open next weekend, Friday and Saturday. If you want to get some gifts, you can go make sure that you can help them out. But then also, it will be available for the morning service next week. So right here in the room, we got some Man Day shirts, some little fun stuff out there. So make sure you mark your calendar and be here, because we're going to have a lot of fun, man, smashing coronavirus on a car out front, all kind of fun activity. So just make sure that you're a part of next service, all right, next weekend. But today we are continuing this series. It's all about good advice, bad advice, and y'all continue to send me some good stuff. So let's go through some of the images that you have sent me for this week, good advice, bad advice. This is a great one. When at first you don't succeed, just sit down and eat cake, then try again. That's a kid one right there. You got to love that, because that's exactly right. Making sure that they know, man, I like that. I'm for it. All right, here's number two. Here's another one for you. At the airport, my dad said, put one shoe in each suitcase, so if it gets stolen, they can't wear your shoes. Hard to believe, but that's really what they send. All right, there's a dad. That's good dad advice. So here's another good one right here. Don't do drugs, kid. You'll love them. Best bad dad advice ever. Y'all got to pray for these people, all right? So these are what's so funny. They are sending out, it's all kind of stuff out there. So you guys are finding them. Thank you for sending all that stuff in. We're having a lot of fun with it. But don't forget, next week I got more dad advice. It's going to be a lot of fun, a great message for you on Macho Man. We're going to have some fun with that. But I've got to start with my brother. He went on vacation, and I don't know how your week was this week, but he went on vacation. He was getting ready to go down to Orange Beach, I think, have a little time away, just get some quiet time. And when he got out there, something happened, all right? Something happened. Went on a fishing boat, got on the fishing boat. Someone forgot to put the knife in the little scabbard, and guess what happened right here? This is what it looks like right there. Yeesh. So I'm just trying to tell you, I don't know if your week was good or bad or how it worked. There were some great pictures of him enjoying the beach, but it doesn't always go easy. Sometimes there's some tough times out there, and I know that many of us in this room can relate. Maybe you had a pretty rough week, or you're trying to get back in. You thought you were going to have a good vacation. Maybe some things are hanging you up. Christy Rhodes sent me a video already this morning there at the Gaylord over in Dallas area, and just to make you feel a little bit better, the escalator's not working at the Texas Gaylord either. You know, they were like, God, can you believe it? You know, so it doesn't matter. It's not just Shreveport Convention Center. Sometimes it just don't go our way. So as I was walking through looking at advice, someone also brought this to my attention. There's a difference between advice and advising someone. So here, this is a pretty good example of that. It gives you some definitions of like, let me advise you or let me give you some advice. And I thought, well, they're both applicable to today's message in this series. And so here is my first advice, or let me advise you with this next statement. This one you got to remember, and I can tell you it's been this way for me this week. Life is full of pain and disappointment. Can I get an amen somewhere out there, all right? I'll put it on the screen for you just so that you understand. This statement right here is something that you need to remember, because whether it's vacation, whether it was 2020, you remember, we're all like, ooh, we remember. But I want to push you back before even 2020. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. It doesn't matter if it's vacation time or fall, whatever it is. Life in general, in 51 years, I have seen it be very disappointing at times and painful. Matter of fact, we went to our Disney vacation many, many years ago, but I saw many faces like this in the happiest place on earth right there. Is you try to go down, you want your grandkids, your kids to have a good time, and something happens where, look, he just pushed it on him. They're about to, but one kid's happy, though. Like, look, the castle. And then you get down there, and maybe you have to break out the poncho. If you've ever been down to Disney, you understand it's not so fun. It has also happened to us, and it wasn't too long ago, just a couple of years ago. We went to the beach to have a good time, and guess what happened? Hurricane came through. Anybody remember those days? You plan it, you prepare for it, you put all your money there, and you're like, let's go, and then here comes the hurricane, we're back in that season coming back up. Or It has happened to us as well. We went to the beach and there was an oil slick. This is no exaggeration. We got down there and you're like, good night. And if you think that's bad, there's nothing that'll take the view away like this next picture right here. It's like, hey, look through the guys cleaning up the beach. So here is why I set all of that up. We're talking about advice. We're talking about advising you of things. Remember, life doesn't always go our way. You know that. But sometimes we get so discouraged and frustrated by that, we think that it should always go our way, and it doesn't always go our way. Good example again, you can get a brand new car. Look how excited this guy is right here. He's like, man, I got my car. This is awesome. But ask Adam, who works with us back in the back, until that payment book comes. Anybody remember that? You're like, how thick is that thing? I don't even know if they do payment books anymore, but I remember when I bought my first car, it was like, oh, this will take forever. Right now, we have our kid, our final baby, Emma, is getting her, you know, permit. She's learning to drive. So you think, man, this is going to be the best. We're finally going to send her to the store, and I don't have to go to Walmart anymore, until you see something like this when Emma calls back and goes, ah. Now, this isn't my daughter, thank God. She hasn't driven yet. But you think you're finally going to get there. It's like, oh, then it's your dad, I had a little accident at Walmart. Well, it can get worse, though. If you think that's bad, I ran into the pole. Look at this one right here. I found a couple of these pictures. That's a bad day. So if you think, well, that's as bad as it can get. No, kids, remember what the break is, because this is the next one right there. So why do I show you all that? Because, hey, you can finally drive. Get out there and enjoy. The next thing you know, you have problem or disappointment. And it's not just kids driving. It's not just vacation. Some of us are at retirement age. Anybody in retirement age? Let me hear the old people. Come on. This is what you're looking forward to right here. Until you go to your bank account or to your stock market and you see your stocks do this right here. And you're like, wow, all of this preparation, all of this energy and time, you're excited, you're looking for it. And it seems like it just kind of hangs you up. Something goes wrong. It doesn't go right. So the question for today is, if I'm giving you advice, is how do you get through what you're going through? How do you and I get through whatever it is, emotional problems, physical problems? Last week we talked about cancer survivors. We put them in the pre-show this week. Some of them, man, are battling. They didn't know it was going to happen. Young families, old families, people going through all kinds of circumstances. And you're like, golly, I never thought I'd be at this stage of life having to battle this. Financial disappointments, relational disappointments, and even spiritual disconnect. You can go, how am I going to get through this time? All you have to do is look through Scripture and understand that you're not alone. And the reason I want to focus on this, because this past week was that way for me. It was difficult. As you know, Monday I did the funeral for a 15-year-old boy. Tough. Very, very difficult. Now, not near as difficult for me as it is for the family and the friends of those individuals going through some emotional pain, some difficult times. I'm reminded again when I get emails of cancer survivors or cancer diagnosis or breakups, divorce, there's all these things going on. So for me, I had to this week go, and this message is really for me, I had to go back and go, all right, God, help me get through this. How do we make it through when things aren't going well? Sometimes as silly as a vacation disappointment to the serious stuff where you go, man, I can't believe I'm walking through this. Galatians 3:4 says things like this. Have you gone through all of this for nothing? Is it all really for nothing? Have you ever thought that? Like, God, are we going through all of this pain and all this adversity and all this struggle for nothing? Well, what I am learning, and I am trying to learn from you, and I hope that at one point you'll be able to look at me and go, man, I'm learning from him, is that you and I have a choice on how we can get through it, or we can say, God, help me grow through this. Now, it sounds a little cheesy and it sounds a little cliche because people are like, oh, I got to get through it or grow through it. Well, I know that that's cliche, but what I am learning, it is very true. So as I was going to give you some good advice today, things that I am learning through, walking through, is I have seen it in people's lives and I have witnessed them do something that I know I need to get better at. You ready? Here it is. Never waste your pain. Now you go, what do you mean? Well, this week I saw it. I saw that in some of the worst possible circumstances, people in the worst heavy circumstances were finding ways that they were getting closer to God. They were actually pointing other people to God in the middle of the very difficult, painful situation. So I wrote this down in my little notes. Pain can bring you closer to God, or it can cause you to run from Him. Because in 51 years, I've seen this. A tragedy will happen. A bad day will happen. Something will happen. And you can go, all right, God, I don't know what the purpose is. You can cut your foot on vacation. It can rain at Disney World. Or you could have much worse circumstances happen. And in those moments, you can say, all right, God, I'm running to you. I need your help. Help me get through this. Or you go, God, why'd you make this happen to me? I can't believe this is my circumstance or my situation. We're coming up on 20 years since September 11th. You may remember where you were if you're old enough in this room. I do. I was at First Baptist Bossier. That's when I worked there at First Baptist Bossier. When we realized that the world was in the middle of a tragedy. And they were looking for the president. We didn't know what was going on. And all of this was going around, but something unique happened. I'd work in another church. I was a student pastor, but people began to show up at the church knocking on the front door, begging to get in to pray. And when they did a first service, this is kind of what it was looking like. And I pulled this picture from the internet because there were churches all across America that everyone began to run to God going, all right, this is it. Maybe the world is ending. In the middle of one of the worst American history moments that I can remember, people were running to the church. They were running to God. Now, there were truth that there are some people going, uh-oh, I'm running away. I can't believe God allowed this to happen, and why did God allow this to happen? And you have a choice anytime something like this happens. But my challenge to you, and as we walk through this, whatever the difficulty is, whatever the pain is, the tragedy is to go, all right, God, help me to run to you. Now, thousands of years ago, again, the writers sat down and they wrote out things like this found in 2 Corinthians because they were going through tough situations as well. It says, we were crushed and overwhelmed. It was reminding them, you got to remember Roman Empire, you're talking about poverty, you're talking about a lot of rough stuff happening back then as well. And saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. Well, this is the first thing you got to remember, that there are some circumstances that you can't fix. You can't change. I mean, you're going, all right, I'm here and it is happening and I don't know what to do. But look at what he says next. And this is crazy. But that was good. Good that you can't solve this, that you can't change this? How is it good? For then we put everything that was going on, we put everything into the hands of God who alone could save us. And then listen to how it ends. And he did help us. This is why it's so important for all of us in here. It's like, all right, what am I going to do? Am I going to run away from God or am I going to run to him? Maybe it is your finances. Maybe it is a health diagnosis. Maybe somehow you are tuning in and watching today for the first time ever. And you're going, man, I'm needing some help. I can't believe I'm going through this. I can't believe this is all that's going on. Well, listen, I am thankful that you are watching. Because listen, 2 Corinthians goes on. It says stuff like this. I am glad, not because it hurt you, but because the pain turns you towards God. This is why in the midst of all of your struggles, we have a choice. You can run to him or you can run away from him. And I'm telling you, when you have to do a funeral for a 15-year-old boy, when you have to talk to this family, the Crowsons, again, Joanne, I've known her forever, Chris, just an amazing family, it drives you to your knees when you go, God, I don't know what to say. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God, I'm asking you for the help. I need you. And I'm telling you, it wasn't my child. You can only imagine when you walk in here and you think, what is worst case scenario? Man, maybe it is job loss for you. Maybe it is divorce. Maybe it is the death of a child. Maybe a cancer diagnosis, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, we're in this weird place of going, all right, God, what am I going to do? If I'm going to give you good advice, and I'm going to tell you, I am learning it. I am seeing it for myself. Run to him. Don't run away from him. Because in your pain, all of us, human nature is, we are tempted to isolate, to run away from God and to run away from people. But don't do it. If you want more good advice, run to God and run to others. Let me take you back to this past week. When I was with the Mangum family, the one thing that hit me was how many people were running to them. Their house was overwhelmed with food. Their house was overrun with people. all of these people wanting to share their love and their, you know, again, commitment to them in the middle of a very difficult circumstance. And I know, just like you know, that there are times in your life when you're going through a divorce, you're going through a health problem, there's something in you you just want to isolate. You want to pull away from it. Well, in the midst of all of that I have seen personally, I also did a little research because one of my favorite churches in America is a church called Saddleback Church out in California. And the reason why is a friend of mine named Doug Fields was the youth pastor out there. His pastor is Rick Warren. You may have seen him. He wrote Purpose Driven Life, Purpose Driven Church, just an amazing church. Well, one of the reasons I love Rick so much is because he's very down to earth. He's very real. Well, quick story, we were doing a youth pastor thing over there with about 10 guys, and we had taken this conference room for this meeting, and most pastors are very, you know, like, that's my conference room, and, you know, I have a meeting. Well, he had some world leaders in. This is no exaggeration, and a bunch of youth pastors in there in his conference room planning and dreams, you know, dream, whatever it is, brainstorming and all this stuff, dreaming up some of these ideas, and Rick walks in with all these world leaders. We're in his conference room, we're like, and Doug looks at me and goes, oh, I'm sorry, Rick, we were having a youth meeting. Now, typically, in a normal church, you'd be like, the pastor would be like, I need y'all out of here. Everybody out, you know. He wasn't. Rick was like, oh, it's okay, man, y'all use it. We're like, I'm like scared to death, like, we'll give you your room back, you know. He's like, no, man, just enjoy it, man, glad to see y'all, thanks. And he chooses to go to another room. And I'm thinking, man, what a humble servant. What a cool guy to be able to come in and go, let these nobody youth pastors use my room when I have these world leaders in trying to solve big problems. But I'm patient with you, no worries at all. Well, I've always admired him because of those little interactions and the things that he said and the things that he's taught. But I really came to admire him when he went through a very painful situation. The painful situation that Rick and his wife Kay went through was that their son committed suicide. And as a pastor, as someone that's one of the largest pastors, you know, in this area, I mean in the world really, but in the United States, has such an impact. And the pain is real. Child went through depression, went through a lot of difficult stuff, and Rick sat down for an interview. And I want you to listen close to what he said and how he walked through that with him and his wife. I pulled the video because the interview is once again a reminder, just a glimpse into what we can do and how we can handle it. And listen close to what he says. You will hear those two things. He ran to God and he ran to his friends. Watch.
So about 24 hours later, we are worried because what we'd feared might happen someday and what we would pray would never happen. We go over to his house. His car's in the driveway. The door's locked. We don't have a key to get into his house. And we're waiting for the police to come break down the door to find this terrible moment in our lives. And Kay and I are standing on the driveway, hugging each other, sobbing, just sobbing. The police came, broke the door down, found the inevitable bad news. They're carrying my sons out in a body bag. And if I hadn't had a small group, I don't know that I'd still be in ministry right now, but that group that I'd been in for so many years, those couples showed up within 30 minutes, 15, 20 minutes on that driveway, and they didn't say anything. They just hugged us, okay? They just hugged us, and they said, we're not going to leave you alone tonight. The guys hugged me, and the women hugged Kay. He said, we're coming to your house. You don't have to say anything. We're just going to be with you. This is an important thing to remember. The deeper the pain, the fewer words you use. If somebody's having a bad hair day, you can have a 30-minute, you know, conversation. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But if somebody's just lost a son to suicide, you show up and shut up. There's nothing you can say. It's the ministry of presence. People say, I don't know what to say. Don't say anything. Just show up and shut up. That is the ministry of presence. Out of that pain came that for the next 16 weeks, I spent it alone with God. I was either with Kay or with God. I didn't do any preaching, no staff meeting, nothing for 16 weeks. I had all my buddies, okay, Judah Smith and Judd Wilhite and all, I had 60, Greg Laurie, all came in and preached for me for 16 weeks, okay? And I was either with Cod or with Kay and just listening.
The reason that I want you to see it is because when one of the greatest pastors in America goes through tragedy and he's willing to share his pain, we can learn from it. All of us can say, wait a second, we don't have all the answers. So, and the reason I'm so thankful you're watching today, so thankful you're in the room, is because the scripture is clear that there is no guarantee that it will always go your way. From something as silly as a vacation that you plan for and save for, retirement, or just life in general, relationships. And we get so frustrated with God and say, God, why did you do this? And why are you letting this happen? And God's going, hey, wait a second. Wait a second. I want to teach you. I want to walk with you through this. And as I talked about at the funeral this past week, John 10:10 is a great reminder that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We have an enemy, and he wants to knock you down. He wants to knock your family down. He wants to knock your life down. He wants to knock your health down. But it ends saying that the Lord himself, that Jesus came to give his life and life to the fullest. So in the midst of all the pain and the struggle, God is still there saying, through my son Jesus, I have hope for you. You can get through this. And there is going to be something, somehow, some way that God is going to do for good in the midst of all of the pain and all of the struggle. I can't understand it. I can't make sense of it, but you can trust him in that. So will you run to a life group? You heard him say it. Some of you, I don't need no life group. I don't need nobody in my life. Whenever the worst of the worst happens, I promise you, you will want people in your life. And you will want people that can point you to Christ and that can point you to the hope and that can remind you, don't you give up. Whether that's, again, your friends or your family or a spouse, you're going to need some people to come into your life beyond even your family to say, hey, I'm with you, or don't you give up. I looked up some interesting statistics. When someone loses a child back in the 60s and 70s, they concluded that the divorce rate was much higher. I've got great news. But in today's world, because we have learned, it is actually not higher. Spouses have learned to run to each other, to say, I have got to have you. I have got to have you in my corner. I need you in my life. Where back in the day, they isolated, they ran away from, they didn't want to deal with it. But now they're saying more and more, going, man, help me through this. There's some valuable lessons that as time goes on, we need to learn. Galatians 6:2, go back to the scripture, says, by helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. Well, what's the law of Christ? You remember this? Love your neighbor as yourself. The idea is simply this. I will love you the way that I would want you to love me. And that when we're helping each other, man, we can actually fulfill what Jesus said in the midst of our trouble, in the midst of our difficulties. And Rick Warren said this in the midst of all of his struggles, and I wrote this down, and here's the quote for you. If you will allow it, pain will teach you how to really love. What a powerful statement. If you will allow it, pain will drive you to a deeper love. Even as Christ had talked about it, through that suffering, through that struggle, I can show you really what love is. Now I contacted my associate pastor, Steve Hartman. He said, I got a video for that, Justin. I said, good, Steve. And you go, well, come on, man. Do you really have one? Yeah. Steve worked on it hard, and here it is. If you want to know about pain, and you want to talk about that pain driving you to really love, a beautiful example is this right here. Watch.
Maya Shand of Windsor, Connecticut, can't keep her hands off her husband, Mark. She's constantly pinching and patting and preening the poor guy.
Would you stop fixing my clothes?
If you didn't know better, you'd think they were newlyweds. But Mark and Maya have been together for years. What's different now is that they're finally, actually, together.
We just separated, that's it.
Real long hiatus.
Yeah.
The story of their separation is so defining, Mark has every moment of it tattooed on his arm. 26 years, 11 months, 4 days, 20 hours, 26 minutes, and 8 seconds. And all of it for nothing. Here's what happened. In 1986, about a year after they met, Mark was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to life without parole for a murder we now know he didn't commit. Last fall, Lawyers from the Innocence Project proved he had nothing to do with the crime. 3 months later, the hugs still haven't stopped as Mark and Maya continue to celebrate not only his vindication, but her dedication.
I never gave up, never.
They got me for 27 years, but I got Maya.
Mark knows not many women would wait around like Maya did, especially considering they weren't even married when he was arrested. Maya, who works at a beauty parlor, says she knew he was innocent and she was pregnant with his child at the time. So she stayed with him, drove 5 hours round trip every week to visit.
Why didn't you tell her to just move on?
I did. I said, I think you deserve better than this. This is not a normal life. It's not a normal setting.
Didn't need to seek out nowhere else because my heart was where it was supposed to be.
Once Mark realized Maya wasn't going anywhere, he proposed. They got married in the visiting room. Maya raised their son alone and helped raise his two other boys from previous relationships. The woman is clearly a saint.
You know, this guy owes you big time.
Oh, yeah, he does. A double oven.
A double oven. That's all you want out of the deal.
So he knows I like to cook.
That's all you need, huh?
That's all I need. He's home. That's all I ever wanted. That's all I ever wanted from him.
Mwah. This week, Mark, Maya, their three boys, and four grandchildren got together for their first family dinner of the new year. It was all smiles until after the prayer, when Maya just broke down. Mark wanted to know what was wrong.
Come here, what's the matter with you?
But that was the thing.
Maya, what's wrong?
For the first time in 27 years,
don't cry, don't do that.
Absolutely nothing was wrong.
There's many more to come to.
Steve Hartman, on the road in Windsor, okay. Connecticut.
You all right?
Mm-hmm. Come on, y'all. The pain of 27 years separated drove her to love. Listen, I don't know if Angie'd hang with me. Y'all know what I'm saying? Think about that. That pain, like when I first started watching and she was kissing all over and patting over his head, I was like, man, this is weird. They must be newlyweds. Nah, that pain drove her to love at a deeper level. Ran across this quote not too long ago either. Love is not flowers and chocolate. It's changing bedpans. It's a reminder that pain drives you to love at a level that many could never understand. So remember this, more good advice. Your pain can make you better or it can cause you to be bitter, but we choose. You and I choose. When something happens, it is our choice to go, all right, God, I'm running to you, I'm running to other people, and I am going to make this moment make me better. And you know the bottom line, right? For us to be like Jesus, the scripture says that if we're going to be like Jesus and we're going to be better, that the fruit of the Spirit is what people will see in the middle of everything we're going through. It is the seed that's been planted inside of you grows in to show the world who we are. So here we are, Christians. Pay a close attention to what we're supposed to display as fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Look at this list. Is this what we do in the middle of our pain, in the middle of our difficulties? Well, how do we learn these things, Justin? Here's what I'm discovering. It's when God puts you in the very opposite of each and every one of these things. When he's telling you that it's time for you to love, it's when you have no love. It's when there's serious pain there. It's when he causes you to love the unlovely. When he tells you, hey, you need joy, you have to go through grief to get that. When he talks about peace, you have to be in some form of chaos. God uses the very opposite thing to pull it out of you. Patience, God, I just want to be more patient. And then he's like, all right, you willing to wait? He puts you in Walmart and you're like, I ain't got it, Lord. I ain't ready. Whatever it is, right? You talk about the pandemic. Why did we go through all of that? How do we get through this? God's going, no, I am trying to teach you. Did you run to me or away from me? Did you run to others or away from them? I ran across this proverb. You ready for this? This is a good one right here. A severe beating can knock all the evil out of you. Can I get an amen on that? That's the truth right there. Now you go, that's a little rough translation. Here's a better translation for you maybe then. Painful experiences do wonders to change your life. Same proverb. Be like Jesus and remember this. Jesus was the Son of God, but he still suffered. And through his sufferings, he learned to obey whatever God says. You want to be like Jesus? If I want to be like Jesus, it will always involve suffering. Spouse, life, disease, sickness, death. But in the midst of it, he says, hey, this is what I've learned. I got to do whatever God tells me to do in the midst of it. And what's my last bit of advice if I was going to give you some? Use your pain to help others.
Amen.
Amen. So if you've gone through something, and this is what I saw in the Mangum family, let me just brag on them one more time. In the midst of the darkest moment of losing your child in a tragedy, I will never forget the moment that I saw Chris, the dad, hug and love on Kay, the boy who was with them, when his best friend died, his son died. Chris chose to love on someone else. I saw him walking around trying to love on and help all these kids and all these other people. Joanna and their whole family, Jackie, they're going, hey, how can we help and love on somebody else? Let me tell you something. All of us have a choice. You can be bitter. You can be better. You can run to God. You can run away from him. You can run to other people or you can run away from them. But if there's a lesson to learn, is let the pain that you have gone through cause you to help other people. Don't waste it. Here's Rick Warren again with just a reminder of his dark moments, what he went through, and the lessons that he learned that we can once again apply to our lives. Watch.
There's not a week go by that somebody famous calls me with either a mental illness issue or a suicide issue. And I'm talking about from the highest of the highest people, personalities in politics and in celebrity. And Kay and I did not ask for this ministry of ministering to families with mental illness and ministering to families struggling with suicide of a family member. I didn't want that ministry, but it's one that God gave us, and I'm not going to waste the pain. So I would say to everybody, whatever your pain is, have you been molested? My wife was molested as a little girl in a church. She has used that pain to help others. Okay? Cancer. You're going to go through pain in life. Just don't waste it. If you're going to go through pain, you might as well use it to help somebody else out.
Come on. It's good stuff. Look at Scripture, 2 Corinthians 1. God comforts us when we're in trouble. Why? So that we can share that same comfort with others in trouble. The bottom line is this: God will comfort you, he will help you, but he is doing that so that we can help others. Who's the best to help a veteran who's going through a difficult time? Another veteran who's been through a difficult time. Who's the best to help someone struggle with addiction? The addict. Someone who says, man, I've been there. Someone's been abused. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? Man, if you've been abused, maybe that's what God wants you to do, is get help and work through so that you can help someone else. Someone has a special needs child, and you go, why did us? Why are we going through this? It's maybe because somehow, some way, God's going to use you to help someone else who has a special needs child. Cancer, all of these different things. Why did I get diagnosed with? You saw it last week. Man, how can I help someone else? No one in this life lives pain-free. No one gets a pass in that. So here's the thing. Don't hide your hurt. Let God use it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've gone through. Don't hide it. Say, all right, God, here I am. Here's what I'm going through. Now, I'm asking you to use me, and I don't understand it, but I'm trusting you. I'm going to run to you, and God, put people in my life that can help me do the very thing, God, that many times I don't want to do. Help me to hold me accountable, to hold me up, to lift me up. Now, I wanted to end with a video, and since I already did Steve Hartman, you're like, man, well, that was a good one. Come on, right? I'm going to give you a football player, Louisiana boy. He's got a pretty interesting story, and as I close with this and I come back and pray, I want you to think through and ask God, all right, God, what am I supposed to learn today, and how can I apply this to my life? As we learn from Mr. Jarvis Landry. Watch.
Maya Marie Zimmer, a native of Letcher and a resident of Paulina, peacefully entered into eternal rest at the age of 24 on Tuesday, July 21st, 2015, at 6:50 p.m. surrounded by her loving family and many devoted friends. From the time Maya was three months old, when she was first diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, until her beautiful departure, she lived her life to the fullest, never allowing her illness to prevent her from pursuing her dreams and achieving her goals.
They met in high school. Jarvis was struggling in school. Maya was in honors and offered to tutor Jarvis. They hit it off and they became high school sweethearts.
You know, she was the captain on the dance team. I was the captain on the football team. It was, you know, one of those stories that you always hear about, you know, the leader on this and the leader on that. Obviously, they're meant to be together.
Cystic fibrosis is a genetic disorder that attacks the respiratory and digestive systems. While advancements have increased life expectancy, there is still no cure for CF.
She always, like, had, like, a cough, you know, type of, you know, and, you know, and she never really would tell me why, and, you know, probably about I would say probably about a year went by in our relationship, you know, before she finally, like, told me, like, what was happening and told me about CF. And, you know, immediately I started crying because, you know, at the time, you know, my high school sweetheart, you know, my love, the person that I think I'm gonna be with for the rest of my life, told me the life expectancy rate is like 31 years old, 32 years old.
Despite Maya's complications from CF, she pursued her passion for dance.
I just remember going to his high school football games, and I remember, you know, after her performing, you know, during halftime, you know, that they had to immediately, you know, get her some oxygen.
After every time she danced, like, it took minutes for her to just catch her breath. But it was one of those things that, you know, she loved so much that, you know, even if it killed her, like, she was gonna dance because that's what made her feel free. That's what made her feel alive. And, you know, she did it for as long as she could.
Maya went on to dance for the New Orleans NBA franchise. But as her condition progressed, Landry remained devoted and determined to help his high school sweetheart.
As I sat with her, talked with her, saw her do the breathing treatments, saw her take the medications, the constant doctor visits and stuff like that, I just realized that if God continued to put me on the journey that, you know, I believe I was on, that if I had the opportunity with the platform, you know, that I'll continue to go out there and talk about CF. And that's really been my promise to her.
Following Maya's passing in 2015, Landry kept his promise, honoring her memory and advancing the fight against cystic fibrosis.
We asked him to get involved in our national walkathon, which is Great Strides, and he brought the teammates out.
I mentioned to them when we were at practice, you know, about this and how I was affected by it, and they came to show some support.
He cares. He really is in this to cure this disease.
This past offseason, Landry was traded to Cleveland. But on the night he was dealt to the Browns, he paid one last visit to Hard Rock Stadium to host the Jarvis Jam.
Hey, how's it going?
A charity event benefiting the South Florida Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
I just want to thank you for all you do with CF.
That's right.
My nephew has CF.
Thank you guys for coming out tonight. And just a part of the reason why I'm here, I was affected by this early on in high school where I lost a girlfriend to CF. You know, my promise to her was just, you know, raise as much awareness about it as possible, talk about it as much as possible, you know, and now I even have a new city to talk about it in and, you know, continue to find the looks for a cure.
She's looking down, I know, happy, I think, that we're trying to, you know, better everybody's tomorrow that's fighting with CF. And if there's a cure out there that can be put together to save lives, then, you know, I would feel like part of my promise was to be at least on that train and, you know, trying to go that way.
on, man. Give it up for your boy right there. Why do I show that to you? Don't hide your hurt. Let God use it. He didn't have to tell the story. He don't have to go help with cystic fibrosis. He could just, I'm not going to do anything. It's a sad part of my life. But instead, he's allowing that pain to be used for good. My challenge for you today, for all of us in this room today, is that we would do the same thing. For all of you that are watching online, you're not watching by accident today. This message is for you as well. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that most important above everything else, that we would run to you. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the only way I can make it through, that we can make it through what this world throws at us. It is true, the enemy tries to knock us down. He tries to steal, kill, and destroy, but I believe that it is also true. Lord, the reason you came to this earth was to give us the life and the life to the fullest. Help us, God, to run to you and to run to others. In the midst of our pain, God, help us to find ways to point to you, to bring others to you in the middle of those difficult circumstances. Help us, Jesus, to understand that you know what suffering is like. You know how difficult this planet is. And that is why you give us the scripture. That is why you give us each other. That is why you give us the Holy Spirit. And God, the only way we have that Holy Spirit is to invite you into our life. And so, Jesus, if there's someone that's never done that, I pray today they would. In their brokenness, in their pain, they'd say, Jesus, I need you. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I cannot do it on my own, and I want you to come into my life and change me. And in that moment, you promise to invade their life. Help us to bear fruit that points to you. Peace, love, joy, faithfulness, kindness, patience. Help us, God, in the midst of all of the opposites of those situations, that we would point to you and show them who you are. I thank you for Rick Warren. I thank you for Jarvis Landry. I thank you for all of these great stories to remind us that we're not alone in what we're going through. Help us, Jesus, to be like you, to change this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on, one time. I hope you got something out of it today. That's the goal, always to give you some encouragement and some help. So do me a favor, share your story, download the app, communication card. If you prayed the prayer, if you need help, let us know that. Thanks for watching today. Don't miss Father's Day next week. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of activities for you. You just don't want to miss it. Until next week, what do we say? Peace. Thanks for coming, y'all.